This morning, as I was thinking and praying about 9:30, guys, all of us, especially in this group, okay, we feel the world we live in. You feel it, whether it's things that impact you at home, whether you read it on the news, or whether we just people come up to you and say, hey, I need you to pray about, and they tell you about some situation. Because I don't know about you guys, but at least for me, I hear a lot more of prayer needs than I do praises. But often by the time I hear a prayer need, it's not a, and I kind of hate to use this terminology, it's not a little thing. It's like someone, by the time, a lot of times they text or they call or they email, it's pretty profound. You know, it's pretty like, man, this is kind of a life or death kind of deal. You know, the Artie Richburg's mom had a stroke this weekend or this week. And I saw her yesterday, and they hoped she would be able to go home. She was doing very well. Miss Sarah was doing very, very well. And but I was thinking, I knew about it because I happened to see it on Facebook. And it shocked me so much that I actually read it like three times. Like, did that just happen? Because that's the way I found out. And all of you met Artie's mom pretty much in here, and she's a great lady. And she lives down in the Jessup area. But it impacted me. And every day you guys feel impact, and you know that. But I'm not really sure, and maybe it's just me. You know, this is one of these times that this week, as I was thinking about this, honestly, you may not get anything out of this morning, but I know that God has really been hammering me on this subject about, do I really grasp how the world I live in impacts me in a way that kind of at times just flat out, it hardens my heart. It kind of makes me cynical, kind of makes me pessimistic, not optimistic. And I'm not talking about on a global situation. Sometimes I look out my front door, you know, we had the murder on our cul-de-sac 2 weeks ago. And it was between coworkers. Because I said, Kathy, you know, if truth is if it had been a violent act, a random act of violence, I said, we probably would have the for sale sign out in the front yard. We'd be looking potentially go somewhere else if that's on my cul-de-sac. But it was between two coworkers. But it starts right here. How did it impact this right here? And it's interesting because since then, my dad and Cameron and I have probably spent more time with that family that lost a son, not because, at least on my part, not because I'm some great, awesome guy running down there to go, but because they had a practical need. They bought a new refrigerator. Wow. Motorcycle died in my front by my driveway, pushing it home, you know. That's what we were doing that night, Jay, that Josh locked his keys in the truck last week. That seeing the impact, but it's right here. So today, it's a very simple thing, but I put that phrase to it, heart checkup. Do you realize how your heart, spiritually speaking, is impacted every single day when you hear news, both good and bad, both maybe right in your own home, okay? Or as you read it on the news. So we're just going to look at a couple of scriptures. I got some really simple questions for us today. A couple of scriptures about our hearts. Isaiah 29:13. And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know what I feel like that says? And this is something I'm telling you right now. I'm just going to be really honest with you today. You know what I feel like that says to me? I'm numb towards God. Okay. It may not how you feel about it, but that's how I'm feeling. Okay. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Worship service starts at 11, be there by 11, Sunday morning. If you can make it through Sunday morning, you've worshiped with what man came up with. Then in Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth. Now think about this thing. That's Genesis. Could you have written this today? Okay, but this is in Genesis. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That's the way I feel when I look at our world. Does anybody have any good to say about somebody? So those are kind of our baseline scriptures today. And John, you go ahead and go to the next one, because I've kept them on each slide today. And those are the same scriptures. I'm not going to read into it. But my first question I just have to throw out for you to think about is this. Why does a Christian's spiritual heart become spiritually unhealthy? You know, what happens to where we wake up one morning and we're numb, me using my words, to what God's doing, that we're just kind of going through the motions? I mean, How is that impacting really practical in our day-to-day relationship with God? And I just used that question to get us started. Why does a Christian's spiritual heart become spiritually unhealthy? What do you guys think today? Give me your thoughts. Or share with one another about that. So, what do you think? Why does a Christian's heart become spiritually unhealthy? Why do we become numb to God? We know, everybody in this room knows better. I know better. But why does it happen? So the day-to-day happenings kind of just slowly, okay, all right. What else? I think our love grows cold towards God and man, okay? Some more thoughts on this. Because remember, one of the things I'm wanting us to think about today is not does it happen, but how we allow it to happen. What we're going to do, we're going to talk about this a little bit too later, is what can we do to prevent it happening? Because I want you to think about something for a second. I think all of you would agree with this. It wasn't any less evil when Jesus walked the earth, okay? But yet, he seemed to live above it. He didn't live outside of it necessarily. What I mean by above it and not outside, what I mean is he would walk amongst those who wanted to kill him. And I think Genesis 5 has applied throughout history. It's just like you're saying, Don, we just happen to know it more globally than localized back for history content purposes. But I really want you to, as we look, keep this question up for a few more minutes, I really want you to pretend you're looking yourself in the mirror this morning. Because part of what's at stake here is, and I don't have a question about this, but in the background, I want you to think about this kind of as a watermark behind these questions today is, what's at stake for you personally and those you come in contact with? So again, that's kind of just not a question I have up there, but as you, why does a Christian spiritual heart become spiritually unhealthy? As a backdrop, you know, the people, the world, what's the backdrop? How is your heart actually being impacted, and how is it impacting the others? And have you given yourself a real spiritual heart checkup lately, recently? Some more thoughts on why does a Christian spiritual heart become spiritually unhealthy? I would add this phrase to it. It's a phrase we talk about all the time here, and that is, we look at the news, maybe we look in the mirror, maybe we look at our own family, and we say, what difference does it make what I do or don't do anymore? I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I've done all the things they told me to do. And I think one of the things is Isaiah 29:13 is, were we ever doing them with our hearts to begin with? You know, thoughts on what is some fruit of having an unhealthy spiritual heart? What's some fruit? What does it look like in our lives when maybe, even in the other scriptures I have, I don't think I use the word harden, but basically cold, hardened, lifeless. What's some of the fruit when those things begin to happen in our lives? I mean, what do they practically look like? You wake up tomorrow morning and you kind of basically are just dead, spiritually speaking. So what does that look like? Bitterness, selfishness, lack of hope, Bobby said. Yeah, I would think if we're just going to be honest with one another this morning, you talk about the forgiveness, and I agree with what you're saying, Regina. But I would think that right there is probably, if I could say the thing that I evaluate my heart with more often than anything is when I talk to either a non-Christian or a person that would claim to be a Christian, but never would have known it prior to me, is when they use those words, lack of hope, and then I realize that's what I've been feeling. And I think, hold on. Because one of the things that, you know an answer some days that just doesn't cut it for me? And with our youth and young adults, I want you to know something I try to do really, really very diligently, practically with them is take it out of the super spiritual realm and tell me, what does that look like at school? What does that look like in your relationships? So here's my point for us personally is that I can say to myself, yeah, but I've got eternity. Well, that's a good thing to say because it's the truth. But you know, some days that just doesn't perk me up. Some days that just doesn't give me any. A 5-hour energy would do better than me reminding myself I've got eternity. So I want you to know, I'm trying to be honest with you. So as we come together this morning, that you can feel like, hey, you know, I'm not alone. Because one of the things the fruits of unhealthy spiritual heart is well, I'm a Christian, I'm not supposed to feel this way, something's wrong with me. And you know that's garbage. I know you know that, and I know that. But we still sometimes feel that way. So some other fruits of a spiritually unhealthy heart. Lack of hope, self-centeredness, bitterness, we've already said. Along those lines, before we get to any more, I've often thought to myself, you know, what did my brothers and sisters in North Korea do this morning when they woke up a few hours ago and realized that when they were going to go to a meeting, it could cost them everything? Because, you know, I agree with what you're saying, Don, and I think about those situations, or the Christians in Iran, or the Christians in Syria, realizing when you would say to them, well, it probably going to get worse. They're probably looking around going, how can it get any worse? At any moment, somebody might ask me if I know the Quran, and if I say no, they're going to kill me. But worse than that, they're going to kill all my family in front of me. And so I think about that sometimes. I think, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Let's step back. Let's take a deep breath. And how can I engage God for hope? It's not all, I know it's not always easy. That's one reason why I wanted us to talk about this morning. Because if we don't be honest and realistic about our hearts, then why would we be able to expect to share with an atheist, an agnostic, or a neighbor that's had a tragic loss that's hurting? Which, by the way, those neighbors, it is a very screwy situation. There's three people that live in the house, and none of them are married, and none of them are boyfriend, girlfriend, and all that good job, but the two, the mother of the son who got killed and a guy friend that lives in the house, they got baptized last week, and she's in her 60s. And they went to a congregation somewhere out in Richmond. I can't remember where they said where it was, Carol and Stephanie, but they just felt led to be baptized again. And, so stirring in their hearts. And I think that's one of the things I want to get across today is what's God really stirring in your heart about this specifically? So what are some other fruits of having an unhealthy spiritual heart? Kills relationships. Just sin in general. All right? Believe anything. Yes, those thoughts in my head. Thoughts, voices. But sometimes I realize it's just Kathy's voice. It's not the ones in my head. You know? Well, I realize it's hers because the ones in my head are quiet. And Kathy sometimes... I think she's back there with the young adults right now. I gotta make sure all the inmates don't run the asylum when I'm not back. I'm glad to see all this. By the way, this morning I'm usually back there with them getting a lot of entertainment. By the way, a lot of entertainment. So what I should do for y'all some morning is, John, we should set up a camera without them knowing it, and I should stream so you all can watch them. Okay, because you got to see the interaction between them. I mean, it's priceless. Some Sundays. Some possible symptoms of unhealthy heart or spiritual heart. Go ahead, you put them all up there, John, because I'm going to read them off to you, but I'll get some feedback because I think we said them all pretty much in one way or the other. You don't feel like talking to anyone. Talk about cutting off the relationships. Everyone's advice seems bad to you. That may be the thoughts in your head, avoid whatever. It's difficult to love. It is difficult to be happy for others' success. Bitterness, become jealous easily. You feel practically nothing. That one right there, I feel personally, but I see it, I believe, a lot. I see a lot of people in day-to-day life that are just kind of going through the motions. You know, and I wish I could say it was people that are older, but I see it in teenagers. I see it in 20-somethings. You know, they're already overwhelmed with everything, and their heart has been fractured, cracked, dented, dinged. And they begin to live their life like this. You know, I reminded my young adult group last week, I said, there's probably not a single day that Regina doesn't have, and every other counselor or psychologist or psychiatrist in the entire United States can say, I didn't have anybody today. No one needed me to talk to me about anything. And I said, if pharmaceutical companies only made antidepressants, they'd still be super wealthy. Okay? But do you realize how that trickles down, every one of those, and how it affects our physical heart? You know, and we know that, don't we? Every one of us in here knows that. But yet, those are still realities in our lives. And they might be right now. I don't know. I just know that that practically feel nothing. There are days I wake up and I think, where's the emotion? Where's kind of the emotion thing? Those are, you guys got any comments you want to make on those or thoughts on them? Same scriptures. Next question. How do we as Christians know our spiritual hearts are becoming unhealthy? Now, I know we've kind of said that, but if you looked in the mirror today and you said, God, I know that my spiritual life, my spiritual heart isn't right. How would you know that, though? How would you personally know that? Again, I know we've kind of said this already. I just want to rephrase it and make you think a little more personally. How do you know when you have become spiritually unhealthy? And you may be one of those reasons I listed for you before we went to the question. You know, Daniel, you're probably more accurate than you think. Daniel said be smart, but I would use this terminology, wise. How do we know? How do you know? How do I know? Look at our relationships. And I would add to that, how's your response? Even if it's something that's positive. What I mean is I don't want this always necessarily be a negative thing because, you know, sometimes I think God can lay a blessing right in our lap and we're cynical. We're sarcastic, even to God. We're like, what a big deal. You know, oh, yeah, you finally come through. Well, I needed this last week. You know, we're that way towards God if we're being honest. So even if, once you realize this isn't always, it's a negative thing that impacts you. It's also how can positive things impact you? How are the blessings? How can inconveniences impact you? So how do we as Christians know our spiritual hearts are becoming unhealthy? How else do we know when our hearts have become spiritually unhealthy? I think one way may seem really elementary, but when all the things that we do that are, their hearts are far from me and they worship, their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote, is when we simply say, God's not speaking to me right now. I know most of you here attend a life group and Sunday mornings and you're very, very faithful. So, you know, as you think about this for a second, is how would you say that you, Julia talked earlier about not hearing from God and kind of drifting away from that, but asking yourself, how is my wantedness of hearing God? How badly do you want to hear His voice? I used a big word that I probably can't even spell correctly, that Rick would have to spell it. But, you know, sometimes I pray, God, I want to want you. Today, I'm just not really wanting you. Don't really want to read your word today. No, God, but I want to want that. And I think one of the ways is unhealthiness is have you stopped even wanting to feel His presence? No. Because probably for all of us, if I may throw us all under the bus together, okay, all of us in this room have probably learned pretty well how to fake it. Okay. And, you know, I was very honest with the kids at camp. Man, I can fake it. I should have won an Academy Award. I am Oscar nominating myself for some times in my life. You know, I mean, Kathy actually just came in the back door. So the inmates are running the asylum back there. Oh, Lord, they're probably at Starbucks already. And they'll pretend they did something spiritual. That, you know, Kathy and I were having a discussion earlier this year. And by discussion, I think you hopefully know what I mean. for our married couples. And she looked at me and she said, you don't seem to have fun anymore. And I said, yeah, I know that. I'm acknowledging that to you. I'm not to you, I'm talking to her. I acknowledge that to you. I said, she said, what happened? I said, I don't know, but I just woke up one day and I realized that you're right. And so since that point, I've been fighting to get back to a person that has fun without being at someone else's expense. It's very fun, Don. In fact, it's almost too much fun. and I, like I tell you, I just reiterate, I'm trying to be honest with you. That, you know, sometimes, some days, my relationship with God feels more like our weather lately, just kind of hot and sticky, and will there ever be a relief from the heat? But that's why I try to pray regularly. I want to want. And I think when we stop when we pray the same thing over and over, I think that's also another sign. When I say pray the same thing, I'm not saying pray for the same thing. I'm just saying, you know, if we just pray the same, using the same words over and over and over, then I would say that could be some fruit there. Proverbs 4:23 through 27 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths you for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." There you go. We can dismiss now and go on our merry way and have an awesome relationship with God, because that's easy, right? So, starting now, how are we going to guard our hearts? Practically speaking, like I told you, I try to do with the young adults and the youth, I'm asking you the same thing. Today, how do we guard our hearts in your life, where you go, how you think, how you react, how you feel, how you spend your time? How do you and I need to begin to guard our hearts today? So really, we can look at that scripture and say, hey, you know what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can do that. Because do you really believe, back to one of my previous questions, one of the things I think shows that we have a spiritually unhealthy heart is believing that God can no longer use us or work through us. And that's a lie, and you know that. So if we're going to guard our hearts and that's believable, how do we do that today? How do we do that? I'm not asking what we do. It's right there. But we are going to talk about one other phrase in just a moment. Starting now, I got 10/21, July the 3rd, 2016. Because if we don't begin, then we're going to sit here tomorrow. Not here, but we'll be here. You'll be somewhere tomorrow. And all we're going to do is we're going to say, well, maybe tomorrow life will be a little bit better. And that's why I put the word now. All right, let's hear it. What are we going to do? Would it be fair to summarize you trying to fill your mind with godly things? Because you're talking about reading and listening. All right, I like that. Battle for the mind. Back to those voices. Choice. Back to choices. Being wise. Okay, what else? Guarding our hearts now. Those are all good. Let's keep thinking practically. We can turn the TV off, or we can shut off, we can put the phone down or whatever electronic device we have after we've read the 15th depressing story. That's choices. You know, it's interesting how God can use things. I get Voice of the Martyrs, a little magazine they send out, and you guys know what that is probably by now. Sometimes I go to the website. Now, those stories should depress me, because usually someone has either lost a family member or has lost everything. But man, they just encourage me. And I realized that, hey, you know what? Those people are living above the garbage of life. And they're not bottom feeding. They're not. They are counting, like Paul said, they're counting everything else a loss. And so I read those stories and I think, kind of like your story with the poverty here in Savannah, Regina, is kind of like, yeah, that story should depress me. That guy lost his entire family. But somehow God supernaturally uses that story to say, hey, the same spirit that's working in him is working in you, buddy. Wake up. Guard in our hearts. I got a silly question for you along those lines for all of us to think about. I really don't want to hear from you, but I want you to think about it. When you were a child, I was young. We were all young. No, but it is something to think about. And it goes perfectly, I believe, with this. And you still do it to small children today. You use these words. When you grow up, what do you want to do? What do you want to become? What dream do you have? How would you like to live out life? I got to try to say it without crying. I believe most of us, the dream didn't die. It's just that life suffocated it. And it's still on life support somehow, but navigating the now with what God has made us to do and to be. And He created us from eternity past. All those practical things. And one of the things that offers me hope practically and personally speaking is I still got another day to be all He's called me to be. But so often I really don't think I stop to ask, what does that look like? You know, what does that really look like? Because I agree with you, Don. Even though I don't have an hourly job, in fact, I really don't have much of a job at all, really. I tell people all the time, you know, I have so much free, but we see that, and I say, but I don't know that guarding our hearts, I think we leave ourselves so vulnerable that we really don't think it can get any better than just trying to make it. Did you hear what I just said? That I think so often that we don't guard our hearts and we don't battle for our minds, okay, that we fall into the lie that says, I really don't think it can get any better than this. And then the second part of that trap is we live some for imaginary date to retirement. Sometimes I've wondered about this along those lines. And you can just read that question. We're going to pray about that. I want you to think about something for a second. All of us in here, some of us have been here, have been married for a long time. You know? Dale, how long, Kay, and you been married? 26. 26, okay. My mom and dad probably are the longest 48. In 48 in here. Brian and Jerry are still relatively newlyweds. As you look at that question, and that's why I want to pray is this. Okay. I'm just wondering out loud. We use the words God has a plan for us. True. God desires to do things in and through us. True. But I've wondered sometimes. Is God more concerned about us going, allowing Him to go on the journey with ourselves more than where the journey's going? And here's why I say that to you, is this. Spouses, parents, how often have you said, especially those who have kids and as they're getting older and you realize that, they, you know, I'll see you later, which means I'll come see you when I need you, okay, or when I need money, you know. Kathy will say, did you hear from Cameron today? I said, of course, he needed money. All right. Listen, how much would you pay, would you give up, if you could just spend a little more quality time with those that you love the most? Is it where you're going, or is it who you're going with is the most important thing? Now, you know the answer to that question. So, the previous slide about all those things, do you understand that guarding the heart is guarding the relationship? Okay? All of us in this room would pay a heavy price to protect those we love, wouldn't we? Okay? I really believe that. I honestly believe this. If someone tried to hurt Kathy or Cameron, I don't believe there's anything that would keep me from killing them. Okay? I believe that. Now, I might get hurt in the process, but I believe I'd try to make a good attempt. So, my challenge for us today is how do we make it practical? Are you really have a heart that's letting Him in? And are you allowing Him to renew that steadfast spirit, that spirit that says, no matter what comes my way today, I'm all in with you? And tomorrow, are you willing to ask the hard question? Is my heart sold out for Him? Am I letting Him touch the tender spots? Am I letting Him renew my steadfast spirit? And then you're going to ask it again on Tuesday. Because we can't afford in our culture anymore to be a church that goes from Sunday to Sunday. We just can't. We can't afford it. Our hearts can't take it. Do you understand that? Our relationships can't handle it. The people that are looking to us to be soft and light. So what do you do if you hold a grudge and it's an atheist? Well, if your heart's full of unforgiveness, you may know the academic answer, but you don't know the heart answer. And that's what they're really wanting to know, is why isn't my heart any different? So I want to pray for us. So let's just pray. Let's just pray. If you're near somebody, put your hand on somebody, okay? Put your hand on somebody. Hold hands with your spouse or whoever you're with. Let's just pray. Father God, I prayed this earlier, and I just want to say praise be to God again. You never give up on us. In the moments, Lord, when we don't want to be faithful, we don't feel like being faithful, God, I thank You so much for Your faithfulness. And God, I don't know how You do it, but I'm asking You to do Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart today, Father, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, that I will not be given to circumstantial thinking. I will not be given in to the whims or the whimsical thinking of myself or man, but that God, we will want to want you more than anything else. And God, I think you'll honor that. And we will see godly fruit. God, renew our hope. Lord, renew our love for ourselves, for you, for others. God, I'm praying that there will be lasting change occur in our hearts today. God, I'm asking for a power encounter, really, I guess. That's in essence. I'm asking for a power encounter. Life-changing. We have come here to meet with you. And Lord, I know you're going to honor that. So Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit, by the Spirit, for your glory and your honor. And Lord, I know you love us. And I thank you for that. God, I'm praying today that we'll give an attempt at loving you back with more than we have been loving you with. And God, I'd ask you to forgive us. Forgive us of just maybe at times just simply ignoring you and any other sins in our lives, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.